This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Today we hear about the baptism of Jesus, and it's somewhat familiar to us, I think. But I want to focus on a couple things. First of all, what it really means for us and for that time period, for Jesus. This idea that Jesus was baptized is really our focus when we are baptized. And our baptism, the whole sacrament of baptism, came because of Jesus being baptized in the River Jordan. And this idea, what also happened to him afterwards, is very interesting. We kind of focus on that today. So the first thing to point out is that Jesus, when he was baptized, I kind of assume he was dunked, right, in the River Jordan by his cousin, brought up. The first thing is that nobody really told him what to do. What did being the Messiah look like? How had that formed in his mind at that point? There was no Google. What does a Messiah do? Right? So he had to think about this. Another thing that I've always wondered about is right after the baptism, he goes out into the desert, right, where he's tempted, right? And I always thought that should have been beforehand. I figured he would have gone through all that and then gone forward with the baptism, but that's not how it's written and there's something to it. So one of the things is the options, the expectations of this Messiah, that for many Jews, they still believe the Messiah is coming. We're the ones that believe that the Messiah has already come in the person of Jesus Christ, right? Jesus the Messiah. So as he comes out of the water, one of the first things he sees is John the Baptist, and he could have easily chosen that life. Being like John, being out there preaching the word and really preaching kind of the first part of the gospel today is this idea of very black and white, very kind of fire and brimstone type of what John was preaching, that if you didn't repent and turn toward God, you were nothing but chaff that will be burned in the unquenchable fire. You know? So that type of Messiah. And a lot of people assumed that John was the Messiah because that was an expectation of that time, right? And John makes it very clear, of course. He could have chosen that life. Or he could have just chosen what the issues of the day were, the headlines of the day. Not that there were any newspapers. It was all, as we call it around here, the coconut telegraph. But the issues of the day were really that the people in Israel were under the thumb of the Romans, as we know, and he could have easily become a zealot or joined the zealots and formed an army and become, you know, guerrilla warfare and all that and beaten back, defeat the Roman occupiers. And there were a lot of people that wanted that, including, I think, at one point, Peter is saying, no, you need to be this. And he says, get behind me, Satan. Again, that's not the way I see being called as the Messiah, right? Or he could have looked at the Hebrew Scriptures, right? The Holy Scriptures we call the Old Testament. There were a number of things he could have looked at. One of the easiest ones would have been looking at the Book of Kings, being like David, being like Solomon, right? The great kings of ancient Israel as his model. They were great soldiers, they were politicians, they were players, and they had the great kingdoms. And now it's the opposite. And I likened it to those who wanted Israel to have their past greatness. It would have been called MIGA. Make Israel great again. Right? Because the people wanted the good old days back, right? And they expected the Messiah to bring that. And that's why a lot of people rejected Jesus, because he didn't do that, that expectation, right? So he had all these options. And then, like I alluded to, the temptations that Jesus rejected, as we know from the temptations in the wilderness after the baptism, he swept out. Rather, he chose what he heard from his Father at the baptism. You are the beloved, right? You are the beloved one. And he went really to, he did go to the Bible, but he went to a kind of an overlooked part of the Bible. And actually, we read a little bit of it today in Isaiah. He went to the servant songs of Isaiah. Four powerful and somewhat perplexing poems by Isaiah. This idea that God's chosen one is portrayed as a servant, from which we get this idea of servant ministry. Kind of weak, gentle, patient, burdened with pain. But Jesus, some mysteriously, listened, right? He was an obedient, suffering servant. I had a bishop in Colorado. He had a whole sermon on obediency. The root word is to listen. So Jesus, as we know, was always in touch with his Father. He took that time, sounds like most mornings, and prayed and listened to what God was, the Father was calling him to do. He took on all of humanity instead of just Israel, right? These passages about the suffering servant, the servant of God, the beloved, fulfilled none of the expectations that were in the headlines of the day, right? And the people generally rejected him as the Messiah because of it. Instead, he embraced this idea again, faithful obedience, right? Listening to the Lord that led him through great affliction, even unto his own death. It's still a great mystery if you think about it, right? These poems of Isaiah, the vision behind them, none of the others that Jesus, this is the one he happens to choose. So as he comes out of the water of baptism, he's given this identity, though, and that was his focus, the beloved of God. But he had to decide how he was going to live out that identity of being the Messiah, the chosen one, the beloved. So today is one of the four Sundays of the year the church calls us to pay special attention to our own baptism. We're called to remember that we too have been named the beloved of God. Something to really contemplate and meditate on, that you are also beloved of God, and that we also must live it out, right? What are we called to do? How can we be obedient? How can we be the servant in our own place, in our own time? We know what Jesus chose, this idea of the obedient, suffering servant. He gives up everything for the sake of being obedient to God's word. So, in the end, we choose Jesus, right? He's both our glory and our challenge. Think about it. Amen.